Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 12:06 on a Monday afternoon. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland. Counting down the days. You are listening to the Voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA Radio. So, a headline struck me over the weekend. It was a part of an investigation done by the Post-Gazette. The headline read quite simply, PG investigation. Most PA police departments don't tell FBI about shootings. I couldn't even imagine, I couldn't fathom that to be true. But as you read on, what you find is that very few police departments across the state of Pennsylvania, in fact, according to the article, about 1% of the police agencies actually report their use of force statistics to the FBI. Why is that? What does that mean? What are the implications for that? Well, Pittsburgh attorney Tim O'Brien here, joins me now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Lynn. Welcome. Glad to be here and happy that I'm here before you leave, as you now are a short-timer, as I understand it.
I am a short-timer. You know, it's so funny because it's like you spend your, I don't want to say you spend your whole life trying to be a short-timer, but, you know, that's something that you always use when you refer to other people, and now all of a sudden it's me. But you and I have quite a history. I mean, when we go back into our days of TV.
That would not be considered a short time for as long as we've known each other.
Yeah. In fact, I was going to say, I might have to get you on later this week because we're going to be doing some reminiscing. But right now, let's talk about these statistics and reporting in Pennsylvania. Does it surprise you that so few of the eight law enforcement agencies in this state actually don't report their statistics?
It doesn't surprise me, but at the same time, it is shocking. There's no excuse for police departments not to report accurate information about their activities. And in particular, if nothing else, certainly the times that officers use force, and in particular when they use deadly force. It is simply, there's no excuse for not doing that. In order to have effective policing, accurate information about what the police do is absolutely necessary. It's important for the citizens to have that information. It's important for the police who do the policing to have that information communicated. Accurate information is the bottom line for effective policing, and we do not have it, period.
So then let's go back for just a minute, Tim. I mean, is there anything that mandates this reporting, or is it optional?
Well, currently, it is optional. The FBI program is a voluntary program. There are some instances where the Justice Department has come in and done investigations and has entered into consent decrees, as occurred here in Pittsburgh back in the 1990s. But otherwise, there is no obligation either federally or at the state level or even the local level that requires that. Although every one of those jurisdictions could, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania could, the city of Pittsburgh through its city council could, any municipality could impose obligations upon the police department to report information that every citizen who is subject to that policing should know. But now, currently, there is no such obligation.
So does it make a difference if they are, say, a larger agency like Pittsburgh versus a small municipal or borough law enforcement agency. Do you think that makes a difference in terms of their willingness to participate?
It may. I know some of the smaller police departments contend that these reporting obligations are ones that they can't comply with due to not having adequate staffing to do it, or there's an expense associated with it. So there might be a difference in that regard, although I don't think that that's a valid excuse in today's day and age. Everyone records information on software programs. You know, all you have to do is push a button. every police department should have, by contemporary standards, best standards, use of force reporting requirements. So if that's true, then that information has been reported. It's just simply a question of pushing the button so it gets disseminated to a clearinghouse so that all of that information can be aggregated and analyzed, and decisions can be made based upon that information.
And so
the larger
I think
police departments
that
have no excuse whatsoever.
I was going to say, I think that when I kind of look at this investigation, as in the Post-Gazette investigation, and so when you see a state like Alabama had 98% of their agencies participating, it almost makes Pennsylvania look, I don't even know what the word would be, but I mean, you know, if we're in that 1%, 1.3% reporting or participating range, that makes us look really bad, like we have something to hide, doesn't it?
Well, sure it does, and we do look bad. And truth be told, I think Pennsylvania should be in the top 1% of those that report. We should be leading the way. We have two of the largest metropolitan police departments in the country, the city of Pittsburgh and the city of Philadelphia. Both of those, and the city of Pittsburgh does report. City of Philadelphia should be on the cutting edge of these kinds of reforms and having procedures in place to be accountable to the citizenry. So it really is shameful, to be blunt, for that to be the state of affairs in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, where we know, every one of these police departments know how important reporting this information is, not just to the FBI. That's important. But it should be reported to us. We're the ones who should know out of the gate. We should know every time a police officer uses deadly force. We should know every time a police officer intends to use deadly force, even if they don't. If they've been in a situation where they've taken out their weapon and intended to shoot somebody but didn't, we ought to know that. Because once that happens, once that deadly force is used, there's no way to, you know, bring somebody back to life. We have to make sure that the police know what they're doing when they use force, how often they do it, and whether they're properly trained to use force, particularly deadly force.
Well, and you know, the other, and certainly for the folks who did not see the article in the Post-Gazette, it also references, you know, a situation involving a Wilkinsburg police officer. But what I really want to do, Tim, and I'm hoping you have a few more minutes to stick with me, I got to take a quick break, but I want to come back because you referenced the consent decree. And those of us who have been around long enough know what that consent decree is and why it was so significant. But I'm hoping you can just spend a minute or two when we come back to just kind of bring everybody else up to, I don't want to say up to speed, but up to date, because I think there are people in our area who don't know that history. Can you stick around?
Sure, absolutely. Be happy to do so.
All right, we'll do that in just a second. We are back on a Monday afternoon on the Voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA Radio. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland. I'm on with civil rights attorney Tim O'Brien. He's on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. We've been talking about an investigative piece that the Post-Gazette ran over the weekend that looks at law enforcement agencies across the country, but in Pennsylvania in particular, and the fact that they don't participate in what is, for the most part, a non-mandated mandatory reporting system involving incidents with police. And Tim, you referenced earlier the consent decree, and as I said, you know, it's kind of interesting, especially I think I'm kind of reflective just because of this retirement thing. But you know, when I think about things like the consent decree, and I think about some of the young people that protested this past year. Many of them probably have no idea what the consent decree is, how we got there, and what it took to get there.
Sure. Yeah, the consent decree, the one that was put in place in Pittsburgh, was the first one in the nation following a federal law that was passed to allow the Justice Department to investigate police departments for across-the-board violations of citizens' constitutional rights. Before that was passed, there were a number of lawsuits that I brought myself with my law firm and the ACLU, where juries found that the city of Pittsburgh had committed constitutional violations and that there was a custom or practice to do so. What we learned in those lawsuits was that the city of Pittsburgh had any number of police officers who had innumerable complaints against them, but nobody knew anything about it. And they continued to commit the same kinds of violations and did so with impunity, because not one single police officer had ever been disciplined by the city of Pittsburgh based on a citizen's complaint, except one case where the complainant turned out to be an African-American deputy city solicitor. That was the only time that anybody had ever been disciplined. And those facts eventually led to the Justice Department coming in and filing a complaint that resulted in the consent decree. And the consent decree changed the city of Pittsburgh Police Department from one that had 19th century standards to one that had modern, contemporary, late 20th century standards. And you could see the difference almost overnight. And interestingly, that consent decree was in effect for going on 5 years after it was lifted, which was as late as 2000. You could see how citizens' complaints began to go up again, because the same standards that had been rigorously followed, and there had been a federal monitor to enforce the standards, had been eliminated. And you could see the change. And as time went on, there were more complaints and more problems with the city of Pittsburgh Police Department.
So then, when we look at where things stand today and the lack of reporting here in our our state, although again, we should point out that the city of Pittsburgh does report. Is this something, I mean, if people want to be heard on this, is this like a matter of putting pressure on elected officials to make it mandatory? I mean, how do we make this better?
Well, I think citizens have to insist upon it. I think we who are subject to the police carrying out their duties, in which they can take away our lives in a second, take away our freedom, take away our reputations. We need to know information to make sure that the police are accountable and that they're doing their jobs properly. So I think it has to be done through legislation. I think it can be done at the local level, it can be done at the state level, and it can be done at the federal level. And I think at some point that's going to become the norm and the reality. Keep in mind that the International Chiefs of Police Association recommends that these kinds of things be done. And there's no plausible explanation. There's no reasonable basis. There's no logic to not doing it. It should be done. It makes sense for the police. It makes sense for the citizens. It's not burdensome given today's technology. It should be done. It should have been done 20 years ago.
And last question, Tim, because sure. I always feel like it's you end up in a tough situation, because when we have conversations like this, me and you or whomever, then there's a group, there's a faction of people who always feel like we are attacking the police. And that's not what we're saying.
Not at all. Just so everyone knows, I've probably represented more police than any other lawyer besides the FOP lawyers, only when their constitutional rights are violated. I don't look at this from a pro-police or an anti-police. I look at it from what's the most effective way for the police to do their job. They can do their job, police, and most of them do their job to the highest standards. But they can do their job most effectively if the people who they are policing trust them and believe that they're doing their jobs according to the best training standards, according to the best standards that can be promulgated. And the only way that we can know that and have that trust is if we have the information. So it's a win-win for everyone. And it's just inexcusable that that's not the case.
And it just comes back to that transparency,
which is,
absolutely. Tim O'Brien, thanks for joining us today. Great information. We always appreciate you, sir.
Take
good care.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take good care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.